B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Cliff Kingsbury's the one calling all the plays for the Washington Commanders. He's been dialed in so far. Cliff Kingsbury talking to the media ahead of Week 9 against the Giants.
Mary, right? How much planning goes into something like that? I mean, just in practice during the week?
A ton of reps throughout the course of a year. What's crazy, we have a guy on our staff, Dave Rye, who's been a part of five now. So three in Green Bay, one in Arizona, and one here. So he's kind of the expert. But when we got to Arizona my first year, he and Tom Clements, who's Green Bay quarterback coach, legendary, one of the best quarterback coaches of all time, coached a part of three with Rodgers. So we kind of bought in and have been fortunate to be a part of two of them. And the guys, I mean, it's about players, not plays, like I've said. And the guys just executed flawlessly and incredible play. And the last one was COVID, so there were no fans, and it was just kind of us screaming. So this was a lot more exciting. And that was really, Kyler made an incredible play, and he saw a hop one-on-one and took his chance. It was just hop going up and making a play, and this one took everybody. And so that was really special.
Hi, Coach. You met the Giants earlier during the season, and this team is much different team this time around. Could you just talk a little bit about the matchup this time around and what you're looking to see?
Yeah, you always hope you made significant improvement from week two up until now, and there's always a bit of a battle of attrition this time of year with injuries and things of that nature. But they've played really well on defense. They continue to get better, not giving up many points, very disruptive as far as recording sacks. I believe they lead the league. So it's a impressive group to watch. Shane has done a great job schematically each week, I think, really tailoring it to their strengths. And so it'll be a huge challenge.
Being the first time that Jaden's going to see a team for the second time in his NFL career, what kind of challenges does that provide for him?
It's always difficult. You know each other really well at that point. You have a lot of intel, and you've seen each other on the field. And so to me, it's about not trying to do too much and just stay within yourself and execute at a high level, which he's done so far this year. But it's a disruptive group. Like I said, I think they've gotten better and better. And the games always haven't ended the way they wanted. They've been in every game, and the defense played at a high level.
When you have a receiver like Terry McLaurin, what's the balance between having an offense or a playbook that goes to him too much or not enough during the course of a game or course of a season?
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, every game with a guy like that, you come out of it saying, I wish we would have gotten it to him more. I mean, he's that type of a talent, and he plays hard. And like I told you before, the beauty of him is he never asks for it. He never comes back, complains, never gets on the quarterback. He just does his job. And when that guy is doing it like that and blocking, playing without the ball, then everybody else is going to get in line. And that's kind of the beauty of him. But yeah, I think he's a guy you want to make sure every week, if the money's on the table, like he's, the ball's going to him.
Jaden has had a number of those throws where they haven't had a high probability for success. For touchdowns, why is he good in those times? I think he's had more than any quarterback in the NFL this year. Why is he good in those moments?
Yeah, just he has a fearlessness about him when he plays. You know, he cuts it loose and believes, and you know, he in practice, it's not like he's just trying to complete it. He's trying to make the perfect throw, and he judges himself on that, which you know, the great ones do.
And is there one, first of all, it's funny because we watch him on Fridays and the other guys are sticking it in that yellow bucket and he's not. And it's funny, you put him in a game and you're going to put your money on him, I'm assuming.
Yeah, there's no doubt. He's not great at the trash can drill, but he's really good on the field. So I think that'll work out for him.
What are those throws that he's made this year that just jumps out to you besides the Hail Mary?
Ooh. He's had a bunch. One of the most impressive throws all year was the one that Luke caught. I think it was the first drive of the game. Sweat's barreling down on him, pulling his jersey, and he drops it in there. You know, Luke almost gets his feet down, but his like off platform, off schedule stuff has been really, really impressive.
You guys have obviously, you're up tempo a lot. It looked like the Bears were trying, I don't know if it was late substitutions or trying to slow that down. Was that kind of what was happening, and is that something that's kind of new that you guys are seeing?
No, we've seen it sporadically throughout, and it's just really on us to make sure that we're concise with our substitutions and we're nailing it. Otherwise, they're going to be allowed to, you know, hold the ball, and when we sub, they sub, and they tend to take their time doing that, which I understand. It's part of the game, and it's built in that way. But that just means we have to be really good when we do go fast or we sub that we're dialed in.
What is the protocol, I guess? I know they get to sub before you guys can snap, but, like, they seem like they're doing it, like, fairly late. Like, what's the – I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's very subjective, crew to crew, and yeah, I'm not going to get into that too much, but they are allowed ample time, in my opinion.
Hey, good afternoon, Coach. Obviously, as an office coordinator play call, you want to stay as flexible as possible. How valuable is it then to have so many guys that you can trust to help protect if need be or chip? You know, Austin, obviously, Luke McCaffrey, John Bates, et cetera. How valuable is that for you?
Yeah, it's been huge, and take pride in it, too. Those guys take pride in that and playing without the ball and making sure they're buying more time. And it's hard for these linemen to block those guys. They're some of the most dynamic athletes in the world playing DN and rush in this league. And so you're going to need help at some point, and we try to do that and take some off of them. And those guys really embrace that role. And a lot of times, you know, they're the ones who get the ball, too, because it tends to be they'll chip, defense will drop them or forget they were there, and then they end up catching a check down for a positive play. So it has been a good part of our offense, and it's been cool to see those guys really embrace it. To be better. I thought we moved the ball well at times in Chicago, but had a chance to really put it away a couple times. I thought that could put a lot of pressure on them, make them more one-dimensional, and we just floundered around down there, whether it was bad play calls or not the type of execution that we expect. And it was similar to the New York game as well. Just have to call better plays and have to execute better, and our guys know that. We can't expect to win like that. Defense did a tremendous job continuing to get the ball back, continues to give us chances to put that team away, and we just didn't do it. I wish I could say so. No, we were trying to score as many touchdowns as possible. We just did not get it done. Yeah.
Cool. Thanks.
Thank y'all. Appreciate it.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. I like that line from Cliff joking that Jaden's not that good at the trash can drill, but he's still pretty good when he's on the field. Yeah. You know, with Cliff, I think he is striking the right tones. I thought it was pretty interesting. I thought the Bears were really, really intentional about trying to slow the game down a lot and trying to do the really late substitutions.
They did that on purpose.
Now, and Cliff clearly was pissed about it and didn't want to say it, right?
I think the referees have to be more cognizant. Yeah, you get the ample time to do it.
To sub.
But you watch them walking back. They were taking their damn time. And the ref just sits there. If they're not doing it in a regular manner, the ref should just move out the way and let them snap. Catch them offside.
Well, you can blow the whistle and then it's 12 men on
Hell
the field.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that there's probably not a lot of answers for. But at some point, if it's clearly intentional, let them blow the whistle. And let them snap it, and it's 12 men, and then it'll change. Because what you generally notice, when there are 12 men on the defensive side of the ball, some dude, whether it's a big 300-pound D-tackle or it's a safety, they are hauling ass to get off the field.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to get caught in that 12-man penalty.
True.
And yet, against Washington, they're able to just chill.
And just walk. Like, oh, I'm just lollygagging around. And the ref allows it. They should know at that moment what they're trying to do.
Totally.
So
I totally agree with you. Landini, I'd like to run Joe Witt, too. I'll let you tell me when you want to do it. Kind of looking ahead to Sunday and then Tuesday, you know, you do have this kind of lingering trade deadline. What, if any, DQ kind of shut that down yesterday, said, yeah, you know, I talked to Adam, and that's his part of town. Do you think Quinn and Peters are having more advanced conversations around that?
Around
trade deadline?
I'm sure they're talking about, hey, look, man, we didn't expect to be here. You think you want to try and ask somebody else? And if so, who? So I can start putting out feelers and figure it out. You know, or maybe he comes in, just asks a question. Dan, like, nope, I like what we have. We're going to try to go with this year. let's save that stuff for later on. Then Adam gets to decide if he wants to do that or not.
Yeah, I think you got to kind of slow play it to Tuesday afternoon. I think there are the only spot I really see that you can add, barring an injury this weekend that would impact your roster build out. If you know, if they were to lose a lineman or a D end or something, then it changes. Mm-hmm. The only thing right now I'd be really interested in adding that probably won't cost much is a veteran corner. And there are veteran corners. You can look around the league, and not necessarily the Denzel Ward where you're willing to pay a high price, or even like a former first rounder, J.C. Horn or something. But you can get a veteran corner that knows how to play football and can help a playoff team without paying that high of a price.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, it's a fifth rounder or a sixth or something.
But whatever you do has to be the right price.
Right.
You know, I think a lot of people just, they hear trade deadline, they automatically assume you got to go get somebody, and they don't care what the price is. But the price needs to be right no matter who it is.
Agreed. I think that has to be the expectation regardless. That I will not be mad if they pay up, if they're able to find something that they think helps them now and for the long term.
Yeah.
Pay for it. Go get. We've said it 100 times. I don't think it's going to be available, but Denzel Ward, like, that's a dude that helps you for the long haul. Go get him. If that requires, you're probably going to draft around 26. You know what I mean? 20. Yeah.
Let's hope we're in the late 20s.
Yeah.
when you're drafted in the late 20s, that's a good thing. That means that you were good the year before.
I did want to reference this story real quick, and I will, if I know me and you, we'll run out of time. Dave Zangaro is a friend of ours. Dave Zangaro covers the Eagles, and he had a story this morning on NBC Sports Philadelphia, how Jahan Dotson is staying patient without seeing targets. And he's got some good quotes in here from Jahan. And I just think right now is a really good point of time to remember that you got faith in Adam Peters, okay? Yep. Whatever happens between now and Tuesday afternoon, listen. There's some much more important stuff that's going to happen between now and Tuesday afternoon. You could let the trade deadline be secondary on that list. Me and B both early voted. It's way easier. You should do it. I can't imagine the people that are going to go vote Tuesday now knowing how easy early voting is.
There'll be some people that's going to wait anyway.
I know. And, I mean, most of the time I've been that dude, but now that I've seen the light, I ain't never going back. I didn't know this. Did you read this article yet?
Nope. I just saw it, and I did not have much interest in reading it.
How many? This is wild. How many catches do you think Dotson has on the season? And he was traded before the season started, so there was a little
acclimation. He has about 7 to 10.
Dotson right now has 13 targets and 6 catches for 35.
Damn, I missed that.
Yeah, you were
7 to 10.
You went over. You wouldn't have got. Wow. You would have been out. Price is Right rules. Mm-hmm. I like Jahan. I knew the young man. I know that there's clearly some questions about what the hell happened.
Listen, man. I like Jahan. I would always talk to his mom and dad.
Nice people.
But then all of a sudden, there's a point in everybody's career and everybody's life where you're going to hit that point, and either you're going to pissed to get off the pot. You know, we got to do one or two. All right? And he was still sitting on the pot.
Totally.
You know, you listen, you're going to be challenged. And you better damn well be willing to face that challenge and fight it. You know what I mean? And he wasn't. And we've talked to people. We talked to Ike, and I've talked to several people since. And they called me when it happened. And I said, look, man, I'm going to have to be honest with y'all. They said, well, that's why we called you. And I was straight, brutally honest. And they have seen everything I said. So, did he change? No, he hadn't changed yet. Because they're seeing what I said on the first day. That's nobody's fault but himself, because the dude has extreme talent. Route running, it was his thing, you know. So he has that, but you got to find a way to get past your thought process and all the stuff that gets you hung up and go make it happen.
It's funny you say that, because Dan Quinn yesterday talked about there's always going to be stuff, and it's how you deal with the stuff and get past the stuff. And sure, he's talking about football, and this team has to get past a wild Hail Mary win last week, all those things. But in life, man, like in life, my oldest had a little cold, and a little cold in our house offsets the entire flow of things, right? But like, it doesn't mean I'm not on the air at 10 a.m., you know, like it just, life is going to keep happening, and it's not always smooth, and you got to push through it. I think Dan Quinn is so good at approaching that. He talked earlier this year that he likes guys that have a little journey on them, that have overcome adversity.
There you go.
And I feel like for Dotson, in a lot of ways, whenever the adversity started, and I think it was last year, I don't know that he's pushed through it yet. I thought these quotes were really interesting. Dotson hasn't had a catch in either of the last two games. And last week, who did Philly beat up pretty good? The Bengals?
Yeah.
He didn't get a single target. Zangaro talked to him. These are the quotes. Asked if that bothered him. He said, "A younger me, I would say 100%. But me now, especially with the people I have in my corner, just me always trying to mentally challenge myself to be better and better and better, I feel like I'm in a very good headspace where that doesn't bother me. A younger me, that would have bothered me. I would have been mad. But it's bigger than me at the end of the day. I'm all about team, team, team. And whatever I can do to help them win football games, I'm going to do. Whether that's zero targets, whether that's 15 targets, whether that be the game-winning block, whether that be two plays, I'm going to try to do it to the best of my ability to help this team win."
Well, a younger me would be pissed off. An older me would be pissed off. But the older me would be pissed off but not say anything.
Right.
I would internally take that, and my work and what they see me doing afterward would tell them he's about some business right now. You know what I mean? Everybody has reached points in their life where they feel like somebody don't believe in them. Do you just sit back and let it happen, or you find a way to let them know that they're thinking completely wrong? You know what I mean? So, hey, we'll see.
Right. It's a fascinating situation up there, but it also kind of doesn't matter.
True.
Washington's playing New York this week. Good luck to whatever's going on with Jahan Dotson. But the focus here is the New York Football Giants, Daniel Jones, Devin Singletary, Malik Nabers. What does Commanders defense coordinator Joe Witt have in store for the Giants? You'll find out next. It's B. Mitchell Finley.